The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Clipp Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Clipp.
Hi, people. Welcome back. Today's topic is now or never, meaning build it now or you're going to pay a much higher price. A lot of what I do talk about, one of my big issues is how to get your dream home at the best price. And getting your dream home at the best price means the best investment, you know, having it win as an investment. I was talking with a friend of mine who built a home a year ago down on the coast of North Carolina in a resort retirement community. He just had his 1-year anniversary. And with a good builder, that means that 1 year you do a punch list. You know all of the hopefully little issues that have shown up as the house settles over the year and the things that you find as you live in it. So at the end of 1 year, a good builder comes back in, they touch up the paint, they touch up all of the little punch things in the gypsum board, and hopefully that's the extent of it. But he had just finished his 1 year punch list, was talking with the builder. The builder told him that the same house, if he started building it today, would cost 15% more, primarily because the cost of materials had gone up 15% from when he built it a year ago. Same time, or the other night, I received an email warning from Hearthstone Industries. Hearthstone is a very fine supplier of heavy timber framing and a builder of log homes. They're based in eastern Tennessee, but really they build all over the country, and they supply building packages to local builders all over the country. Hearthstone was announcing a 15% increase in their prices, effective at the start of 2013. And they went on and they talked about the rising cost of quality logs and the shrinking supply. So, again, supply and demand in materials. And they also warned that that may not be the only increase in 2013, that by the middle of the year, prices could go up again if the trends in material supply and demand continue. Then they went further and they wrote in general about the construction market. Lumber for framing houses is up 15% higher than it was a year ago. And they're predicting in the lumber, the framing industry, that it will be higher next year. Gypsum board is 20% higher than it was a year ago, and is projected to increase by the middle of 2013. Here's a further thing. The big hurricane Sandy that we just had up on the East Coast, the major damage caused is to gypsum board. It's whenever gypsum board gets wet, it has to be removed completely and the insulation removed completely, the wall stripped down to the studs. Even if there's no other damage, you've got to do that to get rid of the mold that will start growing in the walls. That means just after we saw after Katrina, that means there's potentially a big jump in the cost of gypsum board, probably a doubling in price, at least for the next 6 months as they work through the damage from Hurricane Sandy. Hearthstone's main message in their thing, their email, was, okay, it's now or never. To get projects started now, to be in design at this time, and to start construction early in next year. Not that you have to. I mean, you know, you can wait as long as you want. But if you do wait, be prepared for substantially higher prices. Further, they warned about potential labor shortages. You know, they supply the materials and they supply materials to general contractors all over the country. So they talk to a lot of general contractors in a lot of areas. It's interesting that in the past 5 years, the number of these contractors, really good builders, a number have gone out of business, or they've merged, or they've just disappeared. So there are less top-notch contractors than there were 4 or 5 years ago, and those that remain are becoming booked up. They are, you know, they're getting tied up with projects now, and they may not be available to look at your home next year. Except, and there's always the exception, if you're willing to pay more money. Beyond the contractors, this was an examination of what's happening, the dynamics in the marketplace right now. Beyond the contractor, Hearthstone warns that the supply of quality craftsmen to work for those contractors has shrunk. Some of the best, you know, we lost 2 million jobs in construction. Some of the best workers have taken jobs in other industries. Some have gone to work in the oil fields of North Dakota, for example. In fact, that's a very real change of career for them. And some have gone back home to Mexico. Down in Florida, it's estimated that 600,000 under the table illegal Hispanic workers just disappeared as the jobs dried up 5 years ago. So it's not as though the top quality contractors can just expand back to take on more work. If they can't find the craftsmen that will do the quality of work that they want, they can't expand to take on more jobs. And this is just one more sign that the market is changing. You know, 2 years ago, I could get a home built for a good 15% less than I could in 2007. It was similar to the deals you could get on existing homes. On a new home, I could work with the contractors, use competitive bidding, and find my prices as being 15% less than they were in 2007. That discount on building a home, you know, well, rivaled the discount on buying a good existing home. Now I'm not so sure I can do it. And I am certain everything is saying that the window of opportunity is closing. I'm Scottish by birth, and I really believe in getting a good deal. And I think we may be shifting out of the time period when you can get a good deal building a house. When it comes down to it, supply and demand explains everything. Supply and demand. In 2007, we've been building at a record level for 4 years, which meant that our supply of everything was up at full capacity. And by the way, at that time, I started to worry in 2006. In the back of my mind, there was just this thing, always in investing, you look at future trends in supply and demand. And I was looking at it and saying, you know, if we are building a record number of homes and we do it 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, at some point, supply is going to outstrip demand. At some point, we're going to have a correction. And that was happening even without the mortgage issue. Is in investment, supply and demand is what rules. If your house is an investment, supply and demand controls the value of it. But suddenly, back in 2007, we had this enormous material supply chain that was just pumping out materials, and overnight the demand was cut in half or even more. Well, the materials companies had to dump excess inventory. Lumber, gypsum board, roofing, windows, doors, everything was being sold at a discount. You know, until all of the back stock was eliminated. That was what was happening in 2008, 2009. Then, you know, the manufacturers cut back. New inventory was not stockpiled. And you look at buyers, middleman buyers like Lowe's and Home Depot, they stopped buying inventory. If you wanted something, unless it was a truly basic material, if you wanted a water heater or a toilet or anything, it was all special order. The middlemen, the Lowe's and the Home Depots, were not stocking things. And then you had things like in the country, there's 15 gypsum board plants in the country. And we had 6 of them close. So the supply of gypsum board was cut down from 15 plants to 9 plants. And it's not going to go up quickly, meaning the manufacturers constricted the supply. Supply was squeezed all over, and starting about 2010, we started to see the cost of materials rise back up to the 2007 levels. Supply and demand. The manufacturers, you know, were able to, on the material side, adjust the supply and demand curve such that they were back to the point in 2010 that we were paying full price for materials. People, on the other hand, are not as easy to control or to eliminate. And when in 2008 the number of new home starts dropped by 3/4, we still had all these construction workers. And all these construction workers all looking and chasing the same reduced amount of jobs. So labor rates dropped. Labor rates dropped by 15 to 20% for good subcontractors. And just to keep the employees working, a lot of people were taking jobs that cost or even below cost to keep their employees working and to ride out what they thought was a short storm. And it's proven to be a longer storm. And, oh boy, it's proven to be a longer storm, and they finally let the employees go. And as I said, a number of them just left the industry. So we'll go to break now, and I'll try and get more cheerful afterwards. But like I said, it's now or never.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Each week, Jimmy Gould brings you the stories and the people that you want to hear about. Tune in to A Current Life to hear about the journey to success, how our guests became the people they are today, and the highs and lows they experienced along the way. Each hour will leave you inspired and entertained as Jimmy gets up close and personal with every week's guest and shares ideas you can identify with and apply to your own life. A Current Life with Jimmy Gould airs Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's CLIPPARCH at yahoo.com. Now, back to winning the dream home race.
People, I'm sorry to sound so analytical and so dry about this, but a home is like any other investment. If you were going to buy a stock, you'd look at the future prospects of that stock and you'd look at the analysis of what suggested which way it was going to go. Same thing holds true for building a home. Now, okay, we're 4 years later, and 2 million construction workers have left the market. But it's interesting, I'm still finding I'm in a pretty good market, pretty good in a market that is starting to tighten up and definitely recover. But I still find that there are plenty of construction workers who are trying to hang on and who are working less than full time, which means that they're willing to work for a bit less and they're willing to make a half to three quarters what they used to make in boom times. So, I think you can still get labor at 10 to 15% less. What I've heard from the production builders is that they're seeing their labor cost increase. But when times were really tough, they stayed in business by totally beating up their subcontractors and totally beating them up to the extent to which, instead of paying $5 a square foot for framing on these production homes, they'd be paying $3 a square foot. And people would take it just to keep food on the table. They're now back up to $5 a square foot. So they're seeing their labor costs tighten up and that they can't beat up the subs the way they used to. I don't believe in beating up subs, but I do believe in getting a decent price for them. And I think right now you can still get labor for 10 to 15% less than the premiums that we were paying 5 years ago. It's interesting, though, Hearthstone Timber Framing and other sources that I've talked to suggest that this is changing. They are predicting that by the middle of 2013, next year, there may be a shortage of really skilled contractors, really skilled craftsmen. And, you know, how many ways can I say it? It's supply and demand. In many desirable areas, the supply of surplus homes is gone. I mean, I was really surprised. I was looking in the Blowing Rock market this past weekend. I was up there and looking, and there had been a glut of high-end spec houses. They're all gone. They've all been sold out, and some foreclosed and bank sold at really low prices, i.e. a $3 million house selling for $1.5 million. But I just looked, and they're all gone. The market now has not that many houses on the market. The prices are reasonable, and we are seeing, you know, we're just seeing things tighten up. Prices are stabilizing, and they're going up. The industry, you know, I told you, the industry has been limiting the production of building materials for about 2 years now. Their prices have already gone up in materials, and according to Hearthstone and others, they may go up another 15% next year. Definitely Hurricane Sandy is going to affect that. And now it looks like the labor market is tightening. If you're planning to build, if you have in your mind that you're going to build, and you're waiting for the right time, it is very close to too late. You should have been building this year or last year. That's when the deals were. You can't get a deal today in much of the country. There are some spots you can, but in much of the country, you can't get a deal today. But you still may be able to get a decent price. What I'm hearing is that by the middle of next year, the way things are going, you may have to pay a premium, especially if you're talking about a higher-end dream home where you want a really good contractor and you want really skilled craftsmen doing the work. And those are a different breed than the people tossing up spec houses. People tossing up spec houses, it's not how good it is, it's how fast they can put it up. But in the quality market, it sounds as though we may have a labor shortage quite soon. The other thing is, you know, have I mentioned, well, I'm sure I have, that mortgage money is at record low rates right now. It's under 4%. According to the Fed, that's going to continue for the next 2 years, but almost definitely it won't continue after that. As soon as possible, they're going to try and raise the long-term lending rates. Right now, though, money is cheap. Building costs are reasonable. As I said in the title of this, it's now or never. Now or never. And so, the question that follows that, and I guess let me talk for a little bit longer on this, is that, you know, when I look out at the market and see, well, primarily when I look at the resale market right now, as I said, up in Blowing Rock, up in the mountains of North Carolina, or resort area, we're seeing things really tighten up. Still aren't seeing that much new construction in those areas because they so oversold the market. There were so many excess homes that had to be liquidated that they're still not building much. So the idea that you can go to a resort market up in the mountains, down at the beach, buy something at a decent price, and then do major renovations to it, that is still true. In those markets, the labor is still hurting, and you know they're willing to work for a decent price. Materials have gone up. We can't help that. We're 2 years beyond the point where you could get a bargain on materials. So it's, you know, this is a market that keeps changing. And in housing, people are going to look back on the period between 2007 and 2011. Really, not even to 2012. But 2007 to 2011 as being an incredible opportunity. In some ways, the same thing as back in, you know, if you bought gold, you hear all these advertisements to buy gold. If you had bought gold back in 2006, 2005, you made a killing. Supply and demand. Supply went up, the price went up, it tripled. And you made a killing. Well, the same thing has been true for the past 4 years in real estate. If you could do it, the past 4 years, you buy real estate, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you're going to make a killing. But I think that time is just about past. And now we're more in a stage where we're saying, okay, you want a decent price, you want to pay a not inflated price, then it works. You know, then it still works, but by the middle of next year, I think that will be gone. And we'll be back up where for decent properties, you'll be paying a premium. Now, the second part of this, second part I want to get to is how to get started. A friend of mine reminded me just the other day, I was talking about this. And she said, okay, well, that's nice, but for so many people, you know, they're stuck by the question of how do you get started? And to me, it's second nature. To me, how do you get started? It's, you know, it's what I do. But let's assume, okay, so how do you get started? Let's assume by that we mean the construction of a home from bare earth, from scratch. Although, as I say that, the, you know, the renovation of a home really is very similar. The steps we're talking about are pretty much the same whether you're starting a new home from scratch or whether you're buying a home and renovating it and creating your dream home. There are four steps. First, and these sound like no-brainers. Let's go to break. And after the break, I'll get into the four steps of how you get started on your dream home.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com. Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. Drawing on resources from wellness communities throughout America and abroad, the show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Wellness Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Tune into Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's. We're a show all about wine, spirits, and other beverages. Your host, Kimber Stonehouse, is a professional expert and wine enthusiast. Each week, we'll focus on a different region of the world, discuss wines and other beverages, talk about some of the top restaurants in the region, and what to pair with which wine. Just listening could make you almost an expert. Around the World in a Glass is heard live every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Do the adventures of Indiana Jones leave you curious about this exotic and unusual profession? If so, don't miss Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology with Dr. Joseph Schuldenrein. You'll learn about forensics, ancient civilizations, and human origins. Listen to Dr. Schuldenrein and colleagues discuss their excavations and related archaeological topics, ranging from the unique to the sublime, and yes, even the mundane. Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology, live Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to winning the dream home race.
There are four steps to getting started on your dream home. First is find the land. Second, assemble your team. Third, collect design ideas. And then finally, document your desires and must-haves. And that sounds like a dating trip or a dating list. But those are the four steps. And as usual in most things, it's not necessary which one comes first. And they actually all work in the round robin because they all influence each other. First of these, find the land to build on. For whatever reason, you know, you decide to target a specific area. And like Chapel Hill, in my family's case. It could be because it's near work. Or it has good schools, or maybe you have friends in that area or family, or it could be you just like it, you want to live there. So especially if you're in a larger metropolitan area, you first decide on what community within that area you want to live in. Then go online or talk to a real estate agent. I really feel like I'm being simplistic here. And get a list of the available lots and go look at the promising ones. You know, the other thing, if you have friends or family in the area too, is you just go around and look for vacant lots, and I've done this, that aren't on the market but could still be if you asked, you know, the owners. And one other thing, I talked about this being a round robin. If you've selected the architect, or if you have an architect that you think you may use, get him to go with you to look at the lots, the most interesting ones. And he may charge you for that, a modest fee, or he may view the trip as marketing, which is more the way I would tend to, as long as we look at a couple of lots and not 10. But an architect is the best person to look at a lot and clearly see the pros and cons, to see the potential of each lot. And if you go around with an architect, you know, he can look at them and recommend, of the ones that appeal to you in the area you liked, these three have potential. And my choice, I would prefer that one, but here are three lots that have potential, good things going for them. The key, and I'm amazed at how many times people don't do this, is to really look objectively at each lot. Evaluate the surroundings. And, you know, there may be special features on a lot, like a great view, or even just elevated and without drainage issues. You know, look at the lots and admit the drawbacks. A drawback could be a steep approach. It's in a floodplain, or it could be near a trailer park. We've talked about in commercial real estate, the three keys to value are location, location, and location. In the value of your home, the location still matters. You know, a lot on this side of the street may be worth $50,000 more than the lot on the other side of the street because that one's in a better school district. Look objectively at the lots, and because when you go to sell, and, you know, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 25 years from now, the lot you selected will have a greater influence on the value of your house than the house you built. And the best example I can find of that is up in Blowing Rock. In Blowing Rock, everything is view. There, it's view, view, location. And I see people build multi-million dollar homes with no view. There's one on the market there. There's one of the nicest houses that I can have seen built in Blowing Rock on the market right now. And it has no view. It sits down in a hole with beautiful gardens, beautifully done. Everything is absolutely gorgeous. But it sits in a hole with no view. It originally went on the market at $3.5 million, and they had at least $3.5 million in it. It's now down to $2.2 million. Your lot influences your resale value more than your house does. So get, you know, my best advice on locating a lot is get expert advice. And the truly expert is probably the architect. Now, next thing, assemble your team. Okay, you may think I'm prejudiced, but as far as I'm concerned, your team consists of one member besides you, the architect. Do not pick a builder this early. Picking a builder as your first step on building your dream home will cost you 5 to 15% more money in your construction. So wait on the builder. If you must, pick three or four builders and then get them to competitively price it. But that's down the road. And do not let the builder pick the architect. If the builder picks the architect is working for the builder, not working for you, unless you make it clear to the architect that that was just a recommendation. You are who he's working for, and you expect his allegiance to be to you. Okay, you can, you know, the other members of a design team that you can have in mind or assemble, the most likely ones are a landscape architect or an interior designer. But again, I advise you to hold off on those two and to wait to get them involved until after you have worked with the architect to set up the character of the house. If you get them involved too early, they will actually, well, they will influence the character of the house and in ways that in general can weaken that character. And except, well, the architect or can work with the landscape architect to really create the overall character of the land. And that has some value to it. Generally, a good architect is doing that anyway. And so I'll change that. Either the architect has to set up the character of the land and have a feel for it and how to set the house on the land to maximize potential, or get the landscape architect involved at that time and get him to be your advocate working with the architect. Anyway, I did a whole show on why to use an architect and how to select him or her. And, you know, so you can go to that and find out a whole lot more reasons. But the architect's expertise, his working on your behalf, is probably the key to maximizing the return on your investment. And by return on investment, I specifically mean getting a great home that's really great to live in at a good price, but also maximizing the potential of the lot. And so I harp on it, but it's the same thing as in anything. If you want to maximize your stock investments, you get an expert advisor. That's what the architect is, an expert advisor, and he will keep you from making so many mistakes, starting with the mistake of picking the wrong lot or not maximizing the value of the lot that you pick. Come back from break, I'll get into the fun part, design ideas.
T talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yay!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Ever wondered what private investigators really do and how they go about solving cases? Each week, PIs Declassified gives a glimpse into this little-known world. Join your host, Francie Kaler, a noted private investigator, in conversations with detectives and experts in the field. False confessions, forensic evidence, finding missing persons, exposing fraud, exonerating the innocent. All areas that Francie and her guests will cover. And have they got stories to tell? Tune in and call in to the live show Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on Voice America Variety.
Tune into Goddard Design every week for everything that is arts, interior design, and architecture. Host Chris Goddard will help you explore and invite creativity into your life. Our guests will include industry leaders and insiders who take you through the entire world of design and its many facets. You may not be immediately aware, but design is involved in nearly everything we do, from homes to clothing to food and drink. Tune into Goddard Design every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Now the fun part, collecting design ideas. As you drive around looking at lots, also look at the houses. Take pictures of houses that you like. Maybe talk to the owners of those houses and ask them what architect designed it. That could be a good way to find the architect that you like. Look at magazines and books. You know, mark the pages in the book with the houses that you like. Or it could be pieces of houses. You know, a kitchen you like, a sink, a window seat. Basically, you go through and you mark anything that appeals to you. What I always urge clients to do is to not discriminate. Don't put pressure on yourself. If you like it, mark it or rip it out of the magazine. Don't rip it out of the book. When people come to me with nothing, I give them homework. I give them a big stack of magazines that I know are in the area they're thinking about. I give them books and say, you know, take sticky notes. Go through the magazines. When you see something that appeals to you, mark it. Put a sticky on there. Write on the sticky what it is you liked about that. You know, what it is you liked about the front of this house. Maybe you liked the tower or you liked that window. Separately, and what I usually tell people is, you know, husband and wife both do it. And they use different color stickies. So later when you sit down and talk to me, you first have some note about why you like that picture, but also, you know what he liked versus what she liked. It's really fascinating that what he likes and what she likes are seldom really the same thing. But that's my job. You know, it's my job to look at all of these pictures and come to a consensus and distill from them what it is that appeals to you. What is your dream home? So look at that, or go through magazines, or you go online. The online version that I urge people to do is Houzz, Houzz.com. Houzz is like a huge magazine online. It has about 1 million pictures of houses or parts of houses. And in fact, I think right now I'm the most viewed architect for North Carolina on Houzz, but that's beside the point. And I also find that I did that last week trying to help define the look of a house I'm working on. I actually find it harder to go online and do that. There's something about having the paper in front of you and being able to peer at it up close, to hold it back, to, you know, jiggle it around, that I prefer about magazines rather than online. You tear out the pages, you assemble a notebook in hard copy. So if you're looking at Houzz, print the pictures you like. Put them in a notebook so you have a hard copy. You can sit down and go through it with the architect. And, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And also, the architect can take that notebook and go back, and late at night when he's supposed to be relaxing, he can sit there and go through that notebook and try and distill the essence of your dream. That's what we do, and it can be really frustrating, but we're the ones who are supposed to be frustrated. We're supposed to take the frustration away from you and make it just pure fun. One of the more interesting things is my wife and I, when we were planning our master suite and later when we were planning our mountain house, we'd go on dates. And a date, we'd have dinner, go somewhere for dinner, and then to Barnes & Noble's. And we'd spend 2 hours sitting in the magazine section looking at magazines of houses. It could be Great Estates or Christie's magazine. It could be, you know, Kitchens and Baths. But that was a date, and it was something we did together that really is a nice shared moment. And at the end, you'd buy the couple of magazines that, you know, had the best ideas in them and add that to your collection for when you talk to the architect. Really, though, you know, it can be this whole adventure of creating your dream home. It can really be something that brings a husband and wife, brings a couple closer together, and that they have fun with. Don't feel intimidated. Feel it's an adventure. And let the architect be the one who's frustrated. I'm very frustrated right now. I have a beautiful house. I've got the plan set up. I maximized the lot. Everything is great. I still don't know what it's going to look like. I'm frustrated. She really likes French country. He likes New England, Nantucket look. I still don't know what the house looks like, and I'm really frustrated, but it will come. And and as I urge the client, let me be the one who's frustrated. That's what you pay me for. But beyond that, the last thing you need to do is to put down on paper, document the things you require in your home. 4 bedrooms, 3 baths, a dining room to fit your mother's table for 12. You know, maybe a study that has a fireplace in it and 2 lazy boy recliners. Although I think if your study has a fireplace and two Lazy Boy recliners, it's more of a den than a study. So document your must-haves, plus document your desires. Your desires overall, and your desires for each room in the house. Things aren't real if they're not documented, and you may forget something. So don't rely on memory or word of mouth, just like in legal cases. Document it. What I find is that notebook of ideas and that document of must-haves and desires, I will go back to several times over the course of a design, even up to when we're issuing the drawings to the contractor to start building. I'll go back to those two things and check to make sure that we're on track, that we didn't get sidetracked somewhere, and we didn't forget anything. So those are the steps to how to get started. And really, they're easy. You know, they're baby steps, and they build on each other. And like I started this thing, this is now or never. If you're not underway now with the design, if you're not underway with the construction in 6 months, you've probably missed a window, and you're going to pay more. And next week, I'll come back with really happy topics, whatever they are. And have a good day and good luck, people.
Thanks again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.